Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome to Wine Alphabet Street.
The letter N.
Hey.
I can't believe. I mean, we're just plugging along here.
Yes, yes.
No matter where we are, we do Wine Alphabet Street.
We do. And I am sad to say our little mascot did not make the trip cross-country.
Didn't fit in the suitcase, huh? Too much wine?
There was just a bit too much other stuff in the suitcase in order for us to fit Elmo in there.
You should have bought Elmo a seat on the plane.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. That's what I should have done. So we are Elmo-less today, but he is there in our hearts.
Yes.
And today we are talking Negro Amaro, and I'm going to go right into it. We'll start the video.
Okay. Sounds good.
Welcome to Wine Alphabet Street, and as Elmo said, the letter of the day is N, Negro Amaro, and hey Debbie, what's going on?
Oh, you know me, I just can't keep up with myself these days.
I know, you are a very, very busy person.
Busy. I can't wait till Labor Day when it slows down.
No, I don't want Labor Day because Labor Day means
Labor
Day means I need to A, go back to the wrong coast, and B, I have to go back to work.
I'll tell you though, the restaurant business, I didn't think it would be so time consuming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, way time consuming.
It's a big deal. I know a couple of other people who own a restaurant, and it is all consuming.
Yeah. So after Labor Day, we go down to 5 days a week. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we, as the season winds down, so do our hours.
All right.
So
I'll start off with me.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm Lori, co-owner with my husband, Michael, of Dracena Wines. We produce double gold winning, yay, Cabernet Franc and Rosé of Syrah. We are founders of Cab Franc Day. I live the bi-coastal life and currently am on the correct coast, the coast that I want to be on 100% of the time, California. I don't know. I'm not really into describing myself today. I'm tired today. So that's about all we got today. Go ahead, Deb.
Great. I'll go. I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger, wine writer. I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in Port and Champaign. And a lot of people don't realize and know that I used to have a career in travel, and I'm a certified travel counselor as well. And I'm author of the book, Tapping the Hudson Valley, which is day trips and weekend itineraries, traveling through the Hudson Valley wine region. And just recently opened a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey called Kitchen 330. We're extremely successful right now, and knock on wood.
Since a few months ago, actually, I guess it's almost like six months ago, Debbie and I decided that we weren't going to pregame our wine, that we would always do our reveal live on camera. And so this is my wine today. And
oh, good. This is mine.
Okay. So let's see. This is dangerous. I should not pour over my computer.
I poured already.
All right. So there's
But look how dark it is.
Yeah, very dark, which we'll talk about in this conversation. All right, here we go.
this. I like the nose.
It, I am getting cocoa, which is nothing I read about, but definitely plum. Ah, you owe me a beer. We said at the same time. And I've got some spice going on.
I got black some spice.
Cherry, blackberry. Ooh, a lot of dark fruits in here. And oh my God, the finish is still going.
Yeah, my finish really lasted a long time.
Yeah, this is so.
It like danced. It danced in my mouth.
Yes. There's a night. The yeah. This is nice acidity. This makes you want to take another sip. Very, very nice. Very
little
nice.
Acid.
Yeah. So we're doing all right. So last month we did Menthia, and we both were shocked. And really, really, really enjoyed that wine. I'm going twofer. This is a nice wine.
I like this too.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the general characteristics of Negro Amaro.
So I'm up first?
You are up first. Michael has a Gossamer Cellars located in Murphy's, California, but the grape comes from Amador County.
So the Negramo grape, Negramo. So the grapes are medium to large in size and have oval berries and have very thick black violet skins, as you can see here. So they're typically a deep ruby red with violet overtones, medium to full bodied with medium to full tannins. I wouldn't say mine is full tannins. I would say medium bodied on mine.
Right. There's some contradiction there.
Yeah, that's just my my personal opinion. So the flavor profile of this, it tends to be flavors of plum, blackcurrant, cherry, blackberry, plum, a lot of dark, you know, a lot of dark black and black fruits. It also can be earthy and have flavors of clove, cinnamon, cocoa, leather, and cedar. So you got the cocoa in yours.
I did. Yeah. I did. That's the first thing I got.
Yeah. So, you know what I found also very interesting is Negramo drinks best between 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Well, I get that.
And a young Negramo in the first 2 to 3 years of life will have a more elegant, fresh bouquet with aromas of wild cherries, black and red currants, blackberries, tobacco, and licorice root.
Okay.
And an older, more mature wine will develop a bouquet of prunes, black pepper, herbs, and juniper berries. And I thought that was an interesting kind of like contrast between, you know,
right.
with the age of it. So that's what I have on characteristics.
Okay. So that kind of leads me into the history of it. And that is something also that there's not a lot of knowledge of this grape at all. You know, I found a lot of websites that had information about it. And let me tell you, these people need to learn what the word plagiarism is, because it is word for word on this website as it is on this website, as it is on the next website. I was like, wow, like, okay, I guess this is all there is to know about it, and we're just all going to say the same thing. So I'm hoping that somebody who listens to this or sees it or whatever and knows more about it, more intimately knows about it, can share some more information, because it really, there's not a lot of stuff out there. And that's a shame, because I'm loving this. So it's kind of a shame. All right, so the history. Negro Amaro is a dark-skinned grape best known in the Puglia region of southern Italy. This is actually the most important and the most exclusive vine that Puglia has. So it's like synonymous with the region. There are actually about 12,000 hectares, which is 29,000 plus acres of land throughout the region. And it is especially widespread on the Salento Peninsula. So there it is, the boot of Italy. Okay? It is extremely easy to find this region of Italy because it is the heel of the Italian boot. And this is a crazy region to study about. Just in this one region, just here, there are 13 native grape varieties. And there's actually more than 13 produced there, but only 13 are done commercially. So it's insane. And I know several people who have either gone through the WSET diploma or in the process of it, and they all like bitch and moan when it comes to Italy because it's one of the most, you know, as they say, it's one of the most difficult because there's thousands of grape varieties located in Italy, and there's like more than 20 wine regions. So kudos to everybody who is an expert in Italy. I bow down to your knowledge. As is the case with many Italian vines, the origins of Negro Amaro itself is uncertain. It flourishes in a rocky and arid environment. It's known to be one of Italy's most ancient vines. And as I said, it is synonymous with Puglia. It does go by several different names. There's Negro Amaro, Nigra Amaro, Negro Amaro, Amaro Nero, and Nicra Amaro. And it is considered to be similar, not the same grape, but it is thought to be similar to Primitivo, which we know better as Zinfandel. The origins of the name Negro Amaro are not precisely known. There are several different theories about the origins of the name. Some believe that Negro, which means black, is a clear reference to its very dark color, which is obvious in both of our glasses. The peculiarity which has been appreciated since the time of the Benedictine monks. And then the other half of it, Amaro, actually means bitter. So it could refer to the strong tannin. So there you go, Jim. There are several Negro Amaros that have very strong tannins, or the fact that in the past, the wines have been left to ferment with a grape skin on the grape skins for a long period of time. And that means that by the end of fermentation, it would be very dark and very bitter. Mine is not bitter at all. And Debbie, you said yours wasn't?
Mine's not bitter.
Yeah. However, the most probable explanation is that the name Negro Amaro derives from the fusion of the Greek word Mavros and the Latin word Niger, both meaning black and referring to the color of the grapes. So in reality, Negro Amaro really means black, black. So all about the deepness of the color of that grape. Okay, so there isn't much out there in terms of the history of Negro Amaro. And what is out there, as I said, isn't really documented and, you know, 100% this is the fact. So as I said, the name may come from the Greek word mavro, which shares a root with merum, a wine brought to Apulia by the Ilian colonists. So that's that top left-hand corner of the picture, before the Greeks actually arrived in the 7th century BC. Horace and the other Roman writers mention Myra Tarentina from Toronto, and Pliny the Elder describes Manduria as viticulosa, which is full of vineyards. So there's our Greek people, our Greek Orthodox. After the fall of the Roman Empire, winemaking declined until it was only kept alive in the monasteries, the Benedictine on Mergia and the Greek Orthodox. So it's kind of hard to tell, but the Greek Orthodox is in the top right-hand corner, and then the Benedictine on Mergia monks are in the left bottom corner. And Negro Amaro could be the grape used in Merum, or it could have been brought by the traders from the home of winemaking in Asia Minor, which is over 8,000 years. So not a lot, and that's the bottom right-hand corner is Asia Minor. So as I said, there's a lot of what-ifs and how this occurs and maybe, and I'm not really sure, but this is what we think about Negro Amaro.
So, I kind of got that when I was researching too.
Yeah, it's a tough sketchy grape to figure out. Yeah, it's sketchy. It's sketchy, but it's really good. So I'm going to pour myself another glass.
Me too.
Love that sound. Okay, so this is the point that we kind of talk about the wines that we chose and give a little history. And now, a word from our sponsor. We are known for our award-winning Cabernet Franc and Rosé, but even we can't live on that alone. When we are looking to find some new and exciting wines, we look to our sponsor, Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. It is super simple and even fun. When you first log into their website, you will see a palate profile quiz. They ask you questions like, how do you like your coffee? How do you feel about blueberries? And when you finish the survey, Wink provides you with four wines that are curated to your taste. But if you don't agree, no problem. You aren't required to purchase their suggested wines. You can choose whatever you want. There are no membership fees and there is no obligation. You can skip any month and cancel at any time. Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy. Wines are constantly changing and start at just $13 a bottle, and shipping is included if you purchase four bottles or more. Sound interesting? Well, we have an amazing offer for our listeners. If you go to trywink.com/winefabet, you will receive $22 off of your first order. That means you'll get four bottles of wine delivered to your door for less than $30. Once again, that's trywink, trywinc.com/winefabet. This wine is a Tempo Vero, and it is actually a Negro Amaro from Salento, so from Italy, but it is actually a wine from our sponsor, Wink Wines. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, when you do purchase by Wink, in terms of unfortunately for us for Winefabet Street, there's not a lot of information about the winemaker of this wine. So all it says is made by Wink. I don't know who actually made the wine. The grapes are from Italy. They are from the Puglia region. I just don't know anything about the winemaker or the grapes themselves. So what you got, Deb?
And it was $11. $11.99, I should say.
Mine was $14 on Wink.
And the first character in the tale is the story of a man named Giovanni Battista Cantile, who left the city he was born in, Pragamone, to follow the woman who will be his mother, or not his mother, be his wife, mother of his kids, Augusto and Domenico. And she later became the inspiration for a wine that now bears her name, Teresa Manara.
Aww.
So Giovanni began working in the wine world in Puglia, sourcing wines and selling them in the north. And on one trip, Teresa Manara accompanied her husband and saw the town of Lecce for the first time. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, L-E-C-C-E.
Sounds good. Think you nailed it.
Okay. And she loved it, and she wanted to move there. So in 1950, they moved from Salentino. They moved to Salentino from Imola. So many years later, Augusto would start the family winery, Cantile, with his dad and his brother, Domenico. And in 1979, that's when they started the winery. And a little background on Augusto is he studied winemaking in the north in Con. I can never pronounce it. Where Prosecco is made. Con. Congeliano, and he worked at the winery. He worked at wineries in Veneto, he really, really had a passion for white wines,
although we're drinking red.
So, and Augusto returned to his family and worked as a wine consultant in the villages of, here we go again, Gugano and Salice Salentino. And he purchased his first vineyard in the 1990s. So this is a fairly young, you know, vineyard winery. In 2001, the children, Augusto's and Domenico's children, Gianni, Paolo, Umberto, and Luisa, took over and are leading the way now, sharing the same passion in wine as their parents did. And they built, in 2003, they built a new winery. They now own 50 hectare acres, and they manage another 150. And if you're out in that area, you can visit the winery and the tasting room. And they have a test kitchen, and it's a whole experience when you visit the winery. So that's the information there. And actually, the pictures online look like this really nice. This wine is 13% alcohol. On the label, it says, Southern classic taste of rich red fruit balanced by gentle tannins and acidity. Smooth and luscious in the glass. I get red fruit, but I get a lot more dark fruit. I was writing it down. I got black fruit, cassis, black cherry. I got some cocoa. I got some like hints of spice on the finish. It was harvested at the end of September, and after being destemmed and crushed, the must macerates on the skin for 10 days. And once malolactic fermentation is complete, the wine is aged 1 year, aged in 1 and 2 year old barrels for 6 months, and the wine is ready to drink, but then it will evolve over the next 3 to 4 years.
Mine, so. I didn't say, mine was actually a 2016.
Okay.
Mine was a 2016.
Yeah, you got the young, now that's interesting because you got the younger wine on the spectrum and I've got an older wine.
Yeah. This is, I'm digging it, and when I went back to Wink over the weekend when I was looking up some information on the winery, it's sold out. So apparently a lot of people like it. All right. We are up to you doing food pairings. Nope, that's me doing food pairings. So Negro Amaro can be made into either big heavy wines or lighter wines. They tend to be aromatic either way, which I would have to agree to that, this is extremely aromatic. And so, in fact, the best rosé wines can actually be Negro Amaro. So I did not see anywhere a rosé of Negro Amaro, but now I'm going to have to give it a try. And on top of that, they also produce sparkling pink Negro Amaro. So we're going to have to give that a whirl also. Puglian wines work well with a variety of foods. You could pair spicy foods, fatty meats like lamb, red sauce dishes, hard and soft cheeses, vegetables, fruity tomatoes, peppery olive oils. All of this stuff is perfect. What I have here, the slide number one, is a variety of cheeses. It goes with a lot of hard and soft cheese. Next up is an antipasto. So I'm digging those. I don't know what those things are called, those little pepper things down on the bottom. They start with a P, I think. I love those things. I don't know what they're called. Pecorino, something like
that.
I love those. I can eat those all days long. And those breadsticks, yeah, they're all mine. I'm claiming them. Next up is a slow-baked lamb and potatoes.
Ooh, I can do that.
I'll eat the potatoes, but no lamb.
I'll eat your lamb.
Okay, we'll order two. I'll eat all your potatoes, and you can eat all the lamb. Another one I'm not going to touch, grilled tuna steak.
I'm not a tuna person.
No? I don't know.
I like my fish cooked.
Oh, yeah. No fish. And last up is a stuffed aubergine, which is an eggplant. So that's it. This might be the fastest speed round of Wine for Bet Street that we've ever had, because there's just so much, or I should say so little, information out there.
Yeah. And Jim, yeah, I don't think Negramo would go with tuna. I don't know. See, I don't eat tuna.
Yeah. Jim is saying that he loves tuna steak, but the Negro Amaro is too strong.
But you know what? Yours, it might be lighter, because yours is a younger.
Yeah.
A younger.
Jim, what vintage is yours? And Michael is saying he's drinking a 14.
Okay.
So, Michael, do you think that yours would go with a tuna steak or any of those dishes? We'll see what they say.
Jim's is 2012, so his is aged.
Oh. So. See, now that's kind of interesting, because when you think about wines that we're more familiar with, when you drink a wine young, it's usually bigger and bolder and hasn't evolved into its, you know, delicacy yet.
Right.
But this seems to be completely the opposite, right? You're saying that...
Yeah, Michael says that his would go well with grilled tuna.
Oh, all right.
So I can't comment on the grilled tuna thing either, because I don't do tuna.
Yeah. I mean, other than those cheeses, I don't eat any of the stuff that was recommended.
I can see this going well with lamb.
Yeah.
I can definitely.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. I get it, but I can't say I get it to go with lamb. But
yeah, no, I can see it going nicely with lamb.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. Definitely.
So we are up to
grilled portobello. Yeah, Jim, you hit it right on the nail on the head. I definitely see it with game, grilled portobello or spicy Italian tomato sauce.
So the thing that popped in my head, not that I have ever tasted it, but now you said game. I'm thinking wild boar. From how Mike describes what wild boar is, that's what I'm.
Yeah, it would. I've actually had wild boar in Italy.
Oh.
And it was good.
So Karen says it pairs well with pulled pork, sweet chicken, and zesty barbecue. Well, you know, they say it's similar to Zinfandel, and those are common pairings with Zinfandel. So, yeah, I get that.
And I can see this with venison, maybe. Even rabbit, depending on how the rabbit's cooked. I wonder if it would go good with the duck special at the restaurant.
Boar, venison, much more yeah. Yes, I think wild boar is much more common here. So the venison, I don't know. I think a lot of people do eat venison depending on where you live. Mike's family eats venison all of the time.
I've been exposed to venison a lot, like, you know, in the Hudson Valley, everybody, you know.
Right, hunting.
But my first real true, I mean, we would eat it in chili and stuff. But when I was a couple wine fests ago, one of the chefs cooked this venison, and he was really proud of it. And he says, "Let me give you a taste." He takes this hunk, and he cuts it for me, and it was medium rare. And I'm like, "Oh my God!" I go, "I need a much smaller piece." I said, "You know, I can't fit all that in my mouth," because I thought to myself, "If I don't like this, you know, how can I politely swallow?" And, I ate it, and it was really good. And now I will go out and, like, Gus made a venison last year, and I was good.
Right.
So, well, you know what, Jim? We do, Gus does venison at the restaurant, so, and he cooks a really good venison. So, and you said it would work good with the duck. It would probably go great. The duck was cured in pastrami style and then marinated in a huckleberry marinade for 72 hours. Oh. So I bet you it would go well.
So going back on the game thing again, never would I ever touch this or put that in my mouth. Ostrich. Again, going off of how people describe ostrich.
Yes.
I don't know how people eat ostrich.
Yes, we both had ostrich and actually found it at Stop and Shop and bought it home and made it. I made a steak. He made ostrich.
All right, so let's get to those five quick facts.
Five fun facts. Gramo is basically concentrated in the Salento region in Italy. And it's actually, it's pretty healthy wine. It's high in resveratrol. And anthocyanin. Yeah, there you go. It's the blue. The blueberry is high in that as well. The first rosé bottled in Italy was in 1943, and it was made from Negramo grapes. So how's that little factoid there? And that's a pretty color rosé.
It is a pretty color.
You know? It's almost like maraschino cherry color.
Yes. I just read a research article about colors of rosé because, you know, that's what I do in my spare time, read research articles. The number one color that people enjoy is the peche, the peach color.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. So Negramo is one of the 13 native grape varietals in Puglia. So, and it comes from the intersection of, Latin and Greek.
Right.
And, you know, going down to nigger meaning black in Latin and mavros meaning black in ancient Greek.
Right.
And another thing to note that I picked up is look for small producers that cultivate the grape. They tend to make wine that highlights its unique qualities.
Right. So, well, not really a full sidebar or whatever, but I love Supernatural. I don't know if anybody else ever watches that show. Hey, so I adore that show, and I live for that show. And a few seasons ago, the Winchester brothers released The Darkness, which turned out to be God's sister, but her name was Amara. And when I watched the show, I never realized the meaning behind that. But if you think about the darkness and her name being Amara coming from the black, makes kind of sense. Gotta love Supernatural and how they research things. So everybody should be watching Supernatural, the things you learn.
I'm telling you, you learn different tidbits no matter what you watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is all I have for Negro Amaro.
It's been the quickest wine for that street.
It has been. And I'm kind of sad that it was so fast because I feel like I'm not doing the wine justice because I really did enjoy it. And
I'm really liking this a lot.
Yeah. I really am. I think I was more blown away by the Menthia last month, but this is beautiful. Like, it really is.
What I liked the Menthia last month is that pepper on the finish, because I'm a pepperhead too, besides, you know.
But this has spice. Mine has spice.
This is spice, but I like that black pepper zest.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I'm really into that. But this has spice. This has more, almost cinnamon spice.
Oh, okay.
I would say.
Okay.
Now, Michael said he would add this to my cellar. I would add this. I would put this in my cellar, too.
Yeah. If it wasn't sold out, I definitely would.
I don't think it would age. I would age this any longer than what it is right now.
No.
But I would definitely be into buying younger ones and then trying them at the different stages.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to have to go. I was so happy when I saw this on Wink that I just ordered it. I didn't walk into a store to see if I can get any Negro Amaro there. So we'll see. Really, Jim, you think it would age 10 years? That's yours must be much bigger than what mine is.
But remember, yours is young, Lori.
Yes. Yes. Well, Jim, you said his was a 2012, or was that Michael? I don't know. Somebody. Oh, no. Michael has a 2014.
So I have a 2013.
Okay. So we got.
So mine's 5 years old.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So 2012. Okay.
I don't know if I would age mine much longer than this.
Yeah. So just out of complete curiosity, you said yours was how much, Deb?
$11.99.
Mine was $14. Michael, Jim, if you don't mind sharing, how much were yours?
I think Michael said his was 20-something.
Oh, because I was going to say these seem to be very budget-friendly. So Jim's was $15.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They seem to be very budget-friendly for what you get. I think it's extremely high quality for what you get. Yeah. It's a great.
I was surprised, Karen, too, that you couldn't find the wine.
Yeah, and it grows in Australia
and California.
Yeah, I did come across the information that there are some regions in California that are growing Negro Amaro, but it seemed that they were using them in a blend versus a straight Negro Amaro. But that would be really interesting.
Do you think it's because they don't feel it would stand alone well?
My marketing brain is saying they think it won't sell as an individual. But I don't know. Wow, Michael, yours was $28. So yeah, that is definitely not a, you know, let me throw a few of these in and let's give it a try type thing. That's.
Jim tried 6 stores. Wow.
Wow.
I'm surprised in New York.
Yeah. Well, thank you for so much effort, Jim, to find one to join us.
Yeah.
So that is true determination there. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So that we know, because Debbie does the calendar much better than I do.
Oh, yeah. Here, wait a second. Where is it? I have it up somewhere.
Our next episode
is O.
Is O, and it is going to be Orvieto. So our next episode is August 20th. And
yep, August 20th.
What?
Orvieto.
Orvieto. So thank you, everybody, for joining.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful conversation. And thank you so much for running on out and getting bottles to be drinking with us. That is phenomenal. And Debbie does the technical thing. Maybe if you guys have bottles next month, can we get them in?
I think there is a way to add them in.
So that's all Debbie. I just show up and drink. So maybe next month we can get some people in.
Yeah, to find Orvieto.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that should be fairly easy. I mean, that's so one to say, but I've seen it on wine lists. I introduced Paul to Orvieto actually in Rhode Island when we ate at a restaurant for lunch by visiting our daughter there. Oh, you're welcome, Michael. You're welcome. And it's great to be able to sit down here and discuss the wine and talk about the research that we've done on it and to drink the wine with all of you. And, you know, we go out, we get the wine just like you guys do. And it's nice to see the different brands and the different price points and the different tastes everybody, the profiles that everyone's have.
I think I got my Orvieto at Total Wine. So if that helps anybody, since Total Wine is everywhere.
August, Karen. I got mine at Viscount and Fishkill.
There you go. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you, everyone. Hope you all next week.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed Negro Amaro.
Cheers.
Cheers. My glass is empty again, but cheers.
Have a great rest of the week, guys.
Yes. Sláinte.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at dracenawines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!